In Jesus' most precious name I have prayed. Glory to God. Father, we thank you once again. We give you praise and we give you glory, because you are God, there is none like you. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for your help. Thank you also for the transformations of the assembly of last week. And thank you because you are with us. We glorify you in the highest. Thank you for dying for yet another privilege. Make bare your word to us. Let the men and the women that are here be transformed by the revelation of your truth. Let it be an encounter indeed. Thank you for your word that you are about to bring to us. Father, we give you praise. Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' most precious name we have prayed.
Amen.
Welcome everyone tonight once again. Good to see you back at the round tables gathered here. Thank God for the impact of his word. Last weekend was something else, and we give God praise for the impact. Because of the nature of the things that came to us and the word of God, we were quick to make sure that the audios were produced and made ready. Please, those are kinds of audios that you hear and listen to and listen to and listen to and listen to over and over again. There are audios on my phone. Some of them are about 7-6 years on my phone. Some of them, I got them in 2017. Some of them, I'm talking about audios that are over 7-6 years. 7 years. 7-6 years on my phone. Not like some of them, we downloaded them. It's the same audio file. If you check the detail of the file, you see it carrying date of 2017. We have listened to it. Now we listen to it over and over. We've listened to a lot of audios, but there are some that still remain. Some of them we've listened to, we don't have them on the phone anymore. Don't have them on our devices. But some particular ones, they remain. These are those kinds of audios. You listen to it over and over. In the morning while you are working and operating in your house, you keep it playing. You listen to it while you do stuff. Working on your computer, you keep it playing. You're just trying to fall asleep, you keep it playing. You engage your mind. You listen to it. Have it minister to you, have it transform you, make contact. Those are those kinds of audios. Every single day. The last day is one you should not even, it's not every day. Those are those kinds of audios. Because they are not things that you say, okay, I've heard it. No, it's not possible. There's no way you can hear all of it once and say, I now comprehend it. You always scratch the surface. Some folks were saying that when they listened to it, it was as though they were not in the meeting, because they were eventually trying to pick up, they were now picking up things that were said that day properly, because they had the opportunity to listen to it again and derive more insight from the words. And of course, the word having a greater cause of fulfillment and cycle in them. So please, as the audios are made available and we are all here listening, let's get them listen to it and continually hear it. Let me tell you, we don't play with God's word. We listen to certain audio, listening. Some of them the same audios. After a while, we play it again. Drawing depth of, there is an audio that you shot just a whole lot of them. Transforming messages. Messages that repair your mind. they repair the damages of your mind. Where you were thinking incorrect, they repair it. Messages that change your perspective on life. They change how you see yourself. You subject your mind to those messages until your mind is corrected, auto-corrected, and they begin to see yourself in another light. The word of God has an impact. It does transform. I have a meeting when I attend yearly, sir. As the meeting is rounding up on Saturday, the following week I'm getting the audios. Now, when I'm in that meeting and I take notes, I don't take notes as points. I take my notes as quotation mark. That is, I'm writing what verbatim. Before I go to the evening, the next session, in the morning, those messages become my devotional. I read what has been said. As the meeting is rounding up on a Saturday morning, the next week I'm downloading specific audios to hear what was said again. We take it that serious. You know the quality of a person's destiny. They could know the quality of a person's destiny and the direction the destiny is heading with reference to how serious he takes the word of God. God said he will look on that person who trembles at his word. That means there's an effect of the word of God. He allows the word to have in him. So these are audios that you should fellowship with. Listen again and again and again. Again and again and again. I'm telling you what we practice again and again and again. Again and again and again. Let it be the background music of your life. And not just these audios, other strategic audios that you know your soul needs to be subjected to. Again and again and again. Again and again and again. And then out of those words, God will now begin to speak further. That's when you have an encounter with the word of God. So they were hurriedly produced. We have a line of audios in queue. We have the audio and on a sign and a wonder. Some persons are requesting for that audio. It's yet to be made available. We have the audio on inheritance, where we gave that word where it says reveal, make known inheritance. It's still in queue. But when the assembly came, we gave it priority and said, let's produce this one. We had it produced so that people can still flow in the spirit of what God released. Listen again and again and again until you are fully changed, until you can preach the message that was taught, teach it clearly as your own revelation, and people will be impacted and changed by it. That's what it occurs. The disciples were saying the things we have heard and have seen, but it was as if it was coming from them because they had so much absorbed it. If you meet somebody in your office and you are talking, and you say, well, let me tell you some things about the systems of the world. When you begin to speak, you should be able to have absorbed it to the extent that when you speak it, they will think it's even your own understanding. They'll be like, wow, that's revolutionary. How have you come to knowledge of these things? Then they will take note that you have been fellowshipping with a depth of God that is not seen at the ordinary level. Listen again and again. There are some persons, the depth of the revelation of God that you're supposed to have is there waiting for you at the seventh time you will listen to it. Some of you is there at the tenth time. There are audios I must have heard it more than 100 times. Something you have been listening to it for 7 years. Come on. Audios I can literally preach it word for word, even with the exclamations. Not every audio I hear, but some audios. Some of you, God is waiting for you at the 10th time of your listening, then the word will break forth. Some of you, until you have heard it like 12 times, they won't crack very well for you to see the light. And those are those kinds of words, because the speakings are encounters. They are not normal audio where we are preaching and we are sharing information. They are structural, they are structured encounters waiting for you to enter. That's why I see the testimony of God's word continue to abound. People are still narrating encounters they have with things we said 6-7 years back, verbatim. I'm like, how do you remember? I say, I can't forget. As if I entered the encounter waited for them. I hope we hear the testimony of somebody who was invited while they were chatting with them, as if a light flashed out of heaven as a sign. And then the second, and you can see that from the first day even down the second day, we were still speaking about the light of Christ. So the men already having foreshadows and confirmation as to the fact that this is where you ought to be. You listen again and again. Make contact with the Spirit. Kayabush, Katamanabush. You make contact with the Spirit. Let the Spirit touch you so that you will not be ordinary. Father, we give you praise. I have laid down my life on the altar, Lord. I have laid down my life as a sacrifice. I have laid down my life on your altar, Lord. I have laid down my life as a sacrifice. Lord, please take me and use me, Lord, as an instrument. Lord, please take me and use me, Lord, for your glory. Lord, please take us and use us as an instrument for you. Lord, please take us and use us for your glory. We have laid down our lives on the altar. We have laid down our lives as sacrifice for you. And we have laid down our lives on your altar, Lord. We have laid down our lives as your sacrifice. We have laid down our lives on your altar, Lord. We have laid down our lives as your sacrifice. Oh, Lord, please take us and use us, Lord, as your instruments. Lord, please take us and use us for your glory. Oh, Ascoli, keep us tamiko. Father, we Santa Maisa, Papa, Topami, Moshiba, Babasco. Hallelujah. Papos Miasa Pirata Maske Supara. Ekukuru, Samitas Kapaide, Tefikoros, Katipandae, Elebampa di Poronoska, Masizako, Okomia. Father, Tapaushi matai, tapaushi kalai, faradesia, kokua, ebana. Lord, set up a catwish. Father, we give you praise. Hallelujah. We have a word for somebody this evening, and this word is going to answer the question of somebody's heart. You know, some person, direct word for somebody here. God is saying to some of us here, and to some persons here who have been wondering. He said that the first installations and the processes of your life, or let me put it this way, the first installations and the processes of your life are just beginning. Because there must first be conception before there's a delivery. First a revelation before a manifestation. There must be a promise, a prophecy, before there is going to be a fulfillment. Some of you are coming into conception, coming into revelation, coming into promises, so that there can be fulfillment, so that there can be delivery, so that there can be manifestations. Because as at the initial time, you were running on a blank slate. There was no direct promise from God to you. No direct revelation word from God to you. No conception of the Holy Spirit inside you. So even if God came to you, there was no promise to fulfill on your life. No revelation to be given expression from unto manifestation. No conception, let alone delivery. The first step of God's dealing with a man is that he begins to bring the man into the knowing of himself and begins to plant seed. If there's no seed in the ground, no matter how fertile and how wonderful the season is with rainfall and everything, it still will not germinate. So there must first be a planting of seed before there is growth. Before there is growth, before there is harvest. So some of you are coming into that stage, and it is the mercy of God helping you. If there is no prophecy over your life, there will be no basis for fulfillment of anything. If there is no promise over you, there can't be a fulfillment, because God will only keep the word he has said to you. So if God has not said anything to you, you can't hold him accountable to anything. That is where we have the logos, the dichotomy of the logos and the rhema. The logos is the written word of God. The rhema is the revealed word of God. God will confirm his rhema to you. That is why David said, your testimonies, your word, I have taken as an inheritance. This is clear through scripture. God had to promise Abraham first. Then he had a platform and a basis to fulfill something. And when it came to the life of Isaac, he had to restore the same promise to Abraham, to Isaac. And then restore the same promise to Isaac, to Jacob. And then gave it as a whole promise to a nation. And then in the book of Joshua, he said that, and ye failed not any word which the Lord has promised Israel. They failed not any out of the good word of the Lord to them, for all of it came to pass. If I ask some persons 3 years ago, what did God say to you? You don't have anything to say. You say it is written, but is it said to you?
I know we can claim promises out of scripture, but the promises that we can lay hold on are the ones that have come to us by revelation. God will act on your revelation. And revelation is an activity of the Holy Spirit. Man cannot give himself revelation. You can't say, I have come to revelation, when there is no operation of the light of God. It's not revelation. So you are coming into the first stage of your installments of in Jesus Christ. And that is why you will see that over the course of the years, we have continually immersed you in rivers of promises, baptized you in prophetic words, dropped depth and diverse potential of seed from God's word inside you. And then some persons now have what to look out for in God 2 years from now, a year from now, 10 years from now. They have a picture of their future out of the future of God's promise for them. That's the objective as at the initial time in your life. Revelation, then manifestation. Conception, then delivery. Prophecy, prophetic word. Promises, then fulfillment. Signs, and then wonders. Let me say that again. Signs, and then wonders. Some of you are already operating in signs. God is giving you signs in your life. Then wonders. I and the children whom the Lord has given to me, we have set to be signs and wonders. Sign and then wonders. So everything has process. The seed is buried into the ground. You don't see the seed superficially. In the same way, God is sowing things into your heart and then bringing the river of the Spirit, the good soil of your heart being intact, and then the river of the Spirit, and then the conducive atmosphere of the Holy Spirit betting things inside you. So this process cannot be truncated. That is what God is doing in the life of many persons. He's bringing them into prophetic promises for the purpose of prophetic fulfillment. And I will perform the word which I swear to your father Abraham. There is a promise. There is a promise. You have seen your future out of God's word. Then there's something to hope for. For the future. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, the thoughts of good, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. So, these processes are intact. So, are we hearing me, everyone? You are in process of being brought into the light of prophetic promises. Now you can see what is available for you. Now you hold on to the word of God. He says, "My dear, for my soul shall rest in faith." Look at what David said. I foresaw the Lord standing at my right hand. My hope shall not be moved. He said, "Because thou will not suffer thy holy one to see corruption. Will not leave my soul in hell, nor suffer thy holy one to see corruption." There was something he saw. He said, "Therefore, my soul will rest in hope." That's what David said in that scripture. So there's something, there's a confidence you have that God has spoken. And then your life has gravity, it has weight. You are no longer driven by wind and uncertainty. There's weight in your life. Some of you are in that stage. Some other persons have left, are growing from one level of prophetic promise. They are entering into the cycle and the season of, and the beginning of their fulfillment. Their fulfillment. But some other persons is still being brought into prophetic promises. Some of you have to wait a little longer, just a little more. Little. Some of you have to be patient. Who through faith and patience inherited the promise? Who through faith and patience? Some of you are about entering into the season of your experience of prophecy. The things that have been spoken over you, you are about to start experiencing their fulfillment. They have started little like light. Some other ones have to just wait a little more. So whichever category you fall into, do not lose hope. You are still in the process. God is making you. God is making you. The good thing is, if you have a testimony of God's word that has been given to you as an inheritance, like David, let your soul rest in hope. He will not allow you, your soul, to sleep in hell, nor allow you to suffer corruption. Let your soul rest in hope. Your soul will not sleep in hell. Your soul will not be left in Sheol, like David said. You will not see corruption. So, know your season per time. You can know your season per time. And if it's in your interest, you can accelerate your process by doing more work, Lord of time. Put yourself to the revelation of God's promises to you and grow it. You will accelerate the seasons, and prophetic fulfillment will find quick because you are now fit for the promise. The Bible says, 2:22. It changes times and seasons, but you, according to level of preparedness, if you accelerate the seasons. So when we say do spiritual work, it's for you, it's for your growth, it's for your progress. It is my prayer that as it come to us, we will not lose hope, but we will grow in faith. In Jesus' most precious name, we have it. Hallelujah. Amen. Today I bring us a very strong word from God. And I want our hearts to be open tonight. Today we want to plant some seeds that will just be something else in your spirit. Hallelujah. So, we are looking at what we have captioned, revolutions. Revolutions. And under it, you can just sub it. They will still occur. They will still occur. Let's read from Isaiah 42 verse 9. Let's just begin with that book of the prophet. Isaiah 42 verse 9. What do you can read for us? Isaiah 42 verse 9. Lekosha paradosh. Sendarabokos
setralabaska paradosh. Isaiah 42 verse 9, it says, "Behold, the former things are to come to pass, and the new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them."
All right, that's Isaiah 42, verse 9. Let me read Isaiah 43, verse 18 for us. Okay, Isaiah 43, verse 18 says, it's almost like the first. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things old. Behold, now shall you know, I will even make in the wilderness, in the desert. God. Let's take that again. Do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The Lord bless the reading of his word. In Jesus' name. This teaching is very important, very necessary, because of the nature of some, the assignment of some kinds of individuals. And certain things have to be in place that we have to, some of them have to experience deliverance from, it's not deliverance from every form of captivity in the thought and every form of limitation in their minds. That's what I mean by they need to experience it. Because the person gives their life to Christ, they are saved, but their mind is still the same mind. They have to continually change the mind. That's what the Bible says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It means that something has gotten old, they have to renew it. The point there is something has to be made new. And if something has to be made new, changes have to be made. If you want to make your house look new, you have to do a revamp. Take away some old structures that are dilapidated. You take off the roof, you take off the ceiling. If it was using a PVC ceiling or the wooden ceiling or plywood or whatever, you can't change it to a POP. You remove the cemented ground, you change it to tile and marble. You do a whole revamp, you scrape the wall again, you put up a new paint, you change the furnitures. And then you revamp the entire apartment. You renew it by change. So because of this assignment of certain individuals, it is important that they be schooled in this land. So if we start a formal institution and say, welcome, and name it the school for revolutionaries or school for revolutionary studies, it may attract the attention of insecure government administrations, because they will be curious as to what kind of revolution is being taught in this school. So if we say, okay, this is the school for revolutionary studies, they'll be like, we have to probe into this school. Let's see your curriculum. What are you about? So, but here you are in a school of revolution. And when you join this meeting, you opt in for that course, that class. You have joined the school of revolution. And it's not revolution as a cake or this. Just stay with us. And as I just said, that school of revolution, I can just tell that something has just shifted. Something just adjusted. Because we are living in a days that there ought to be revolution in a lot of spheres. The Bible says that Jesus Christ will be held up in heaven until the time of reformation. And I believe that those of us who study church history have heard a lot about the reformers. You hear a lot of, you hear about John Huss, you hear about Martin Luther, you hear about John Wycliffe, you read about John Calvin, you read about John Knox, who were described as reformers. But reformation is always revolutionary in nature, because reformation most of the time is cataclysmic, it is chaotic, it is revolutionary. Every
And every attempt towards reformation is revolutionary. So if you study and dig into the lives of the reformers, you will realize that they were all revolutionaries in their own respect. And so, as David has spoken to concerning Saul, the book of 1 Samuel, when he had Saul before him to kill him, but he wouldn't do that. He said, wickedness, he said, according to the proverb of the ancient, he was speaking to a servant who counseled him so that he could take Saul's life. He said, no, I won't do that. He said, for the proverb of the ancient says that wickedness proceeds from the wicked. In the same way, revolutions proceed from people who are revolutionaries. So if we are going to say that there still has to be some kind of revolution, it has to come from people who themselves are the revolutionists or revolutions. And like I said to you, that every reformation, we talked about the periods of reformation, we are experiencing reformations, but each stage of reformation is revolutionary in nature. Revolutionary in nature. People don't like that word because it's not a convenient word. It's a word that comes with direct offense against settled mentality, comfort zone and acceptance of the status quo, indolence and convenient living. So revolution doesn't settle well with people who have camped. But for those who are moving with God, they know that revolution is a constant thing as long as perfection has not yet been attained. Which is why you see God, a revolutionary God, declaring by his word, he said, do not remember the former things. Behold, I will do a new thing. He said, it will spring forth. Shall ye not know it? That is, when it happens, it's going to be so out of the order that he won't deny that something did happen. It's as though you came to your house and they changed the furniture and changed the wallpaper. You can't deny that something has not happened. Because the minute you come into the place, the change is just directly in front of you. And he goes further to say that I will make highways in wilderness and even rivers in the desert. So, reformation proceeds out of the spirit of revolution. And it is so through historical studies. Because until there is a willingness to step out to get some things done, job in revolution, reformation means you broke out an order out of it, another a caste system. It is disruptive in nature. Well, I believe that tonight you will heed my words and understand it within context. To the glory of God. All right, so before we begin, let us define what we mean by a revolution. When we think about the word revolution, what comes to mind is a sudden change in another direction. Yeah. Quite a number of words that are interestingly used to describe it. One of it is an upheaval. An upheaval. That means it's used to describe the effect when there's a sudden upward thrust from the earth. Maybe something like a stone is on it and then an upward thrust from the earth, as of when a rock is being formed, when you see molten magma comes up under the earth and until it just shoots out. One other way it's being described is a disruptive change from one state to another. It's a process of being heaved upwards. But still, further considerations look at it as a sudden violent upset. What is meant by violence is aggressive. But we see it as a state that is characterized by a great change, a sudden change. I wrote here a visitation, a sudden change. It proceeds from people who are revolutions themselves. Now listen, it is a shift. Some other synonyms can be seen as quantum leaps, paradigm shifts. They occur through a revolutionary operation. We said that a shift that contradicts the initial stage or that is contrary to it is sudden awakening, disruption. It is against the conventional and ordinary modus operandi or the conventional way of doing things. It is a violent awakening from sleep. Hey, get up! It's a revolution, it's a shift. Change is the word. Change is the word. From everything we have described, it is all summarized in one single word. Change. 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 Like we said, it is summary, or every definition we have attempted to give is summarized in the singular word. Change. Change. All revolutionaries, I think more, I'm speaking more revolutionaries today. He talks about individuals or people. All revolutionaries are change-oriented people. Revolutions are clearly defined by change. Where there is a revolution, you will see a change. In short, change is what defines a revolution. And it can be changed in any direction. So what is a revolution? It is a sudden change. What makes it a revolution most times, why a change is referred to as a revolution, is the nature. It is sudden. It is cataclysmic. It is drastic. It is aggressive. It drives against resistance. It just shifts everybody in a direction that is just a sudden awakening in another direction or to another level. A shift, what is called a paradigm shift. When they say a paradigm, the word paradigm has to do with the way people do things. Is the paradigm refers to the convention, the conventional way of operating. So when you say a paradigm shift, it means a shift in convention, the declaration of new conditions. You know, when you do physics and chemistry, you talk about the condition of a system. If it's a chemical reaction, you take into consideration the state of the system, its entropy quality, its entropy, its exothermic or endothermic value, depending on the nature of the reaction, the pressure that is being subjected in the system, the quantity of substance reacting with each other, their concentration in moles, and everything. And then when you apply heat, you increase the entropy. You increase the energy contained in the system. You change the state of the system. Then it affects the overall operation in the system. This can also be referred to in mechanical arrangement, like in quantum physics or quantum electrodynamics, just a shift. Praise the Lord. So are revolutions necessary? Are they necessary? Because today we have to introduce you into the course first. Are revolutions necessary? Yes. They are necessary. Because for one, number one, let's take it in this step. Things naturally want to be at rest. Like there's a doctrine in one of those school of thought that objects always look for a way to, it always try to find rest. So they move into a settled state. So there's a tendency that the generality of people want to settle in a place. That's why not everybody is contributing to advancement. Only a few people. And you think they are elite? No, it's because they are different. It's very easy for people to want to camp. Let's rest. But when you settle at where is not the destination, you have cut short what is possible. You have put a limitation. So because of the tendency for the generality of people to settle, sometimes there need to be a sudden shift to change direction. And that's why it has to be energized, because it has to be aggressive to break out of the grid. There's what is referred to as the escape velocity in physics. The escape velocity is that velocity required by a body that is to leave the influence of the Earth's gravitational force. It's supposed to move at least at that velocity, so that it doesn't fall back into the Earth by the effect of gravity. So it's called the escape velocity. I like the way they called it in physics. The escape velocity. If it's going to escape the influence, because the gravitational effect of the Earth tends to pull things towards the center of the Earth. So if you throw your stone up, it has to come down. If you all the aircrafts flying, if it runs out of gas, it will glide because of aerodynamics, but it won't continue upwards forever. So rocket engineers understand this, so they have to calculate what is the minimum value required for an object that is locked towards outer space, the minimum velocity required to move at that state that it will beat down the influence of the pull that it will experience as it goes. It's worked out by mathematics. So to break out of the grid, there has to be a revolutionary spirit. To shift mankind forward, there has to be a revolutionary shift. There's a reason why it's not everybody doing research at the same level. It's not everybody breaking forth in advance at the same level. Not every country or every group or all group of professional people making exploits at the same level, advancing. It's as if it's more like a 10%, 1% of people that are making contributions that is shifting the world. It's because they don't all have the same heart. And what is easy is that it's easy to settle. Of course, it's more easier to sit down than to run. And that's what people do in terms of other kinds of, they figuratively, they sit down. And it's easier to lie down than to even sit. That's why I see when people are sick, they lie down. They call it, they don't give them seat in the hospital, they give them a mattress. They can be at rest. It's easier that way, it's more comfortable. But not everybody can run. As a matter of fact, if they are encouraged people not to run a lot, so that your heartbeat rate doesn't increase. Don't do anything strenuous. It's not good for your health. You don't have strength. The life is not in you. The generality, the convention is to settle. That's why it's just a percentage out of it that advances the generation. And that's why you see that even if you check within your contemporary discoveries and all of that, you will notice that you can mention one person who out of a group of people decided to take his research forward, take his studies forward, push himself to the world to pay a price. And after a while, he comes out and says, this is what happens and this is what happens. And then he just opens up a whole new window for the world to tag along, and everybody joins in that direction. And the escape from the status quo to another level of status quo. Because what is a shift today will become a status quo tomorrow. If you monitor how the world emerges and changes, it's one individual, one person, or a group of people that opened up a window and escaped out of the status quo and then beckoned on the rest of the world. And then it took them a whole generation or several years for everybody to migrate into that shift. And then they have left the format. That is what brings about modernization. Modernization is a gradual process. It doesn't happen overnight. Is that some revolutionary ideas came into place. And then some group of individuals left his then world and beckoned on them, come up hither, come with me here. And then the whole world migrated. Today we have a lot of migrations that have occurred, just that we have not taken it into note of it. But a lot of migrations occurred. Today the whole world has the one head into digital. Has migrated. In those admissions, somebody has to go and record in the university. You need to have somebody. They say, they have posted the list of who that have admission. Then you go to the school, you write to the school, you go and join queue with all your files. They open a file for you. In the files and records, there's a clerk and there's somebody who's keeping the record. And then they enter your name. There, you join queue. You go to this office there. You register for the course from each department. They write your name on the master sheet. Include your name. Very strenuous process. Everybody join queue. One person will take like 5 minutes. You have 1,000 people queued. And then afterwards, everything is manually. You just do everything is on paper. The records are stored in some locations in departments that have all the student records, and then they file them according to level and session, and then they according to the order of their matric numbers, they search for them. There are people whose job were designated for that. And then came the advent of the database system. They said we can migrate everything, and everything was migrated into a database, taking digital. So right now you check your admission on the school portal, you register your courses online and print it out. In the departmental database that registered for the course. And then all that process is cut short. They want you to submit anything just for formality. Everything they do is online. Then they enter your result sheet online, you go and print it from your portal. The world has migrated. Some individuals made that possible. The whole world today celebrates the age, but you can number 10 people who did that. Talk about Tim Berners-Lee, who is the inventor of the World Wide Web. Talk about scientists from the 1950s who began the research on the internet telecommunication system. Talk about the people that developed the operating systems and the personal computers. You can mention them, people that developed the SQL language that is used majorly for database, people who worked on computer projects that made the migration possible. They are handful. If you want, maybe they can be, they will be up to 1,000. I mean, they know people that the team, the people who were the team tanks. Why are they not? Because the convention is to settle. Why is it necessary? All pioneers are revolutionaries. To pioneer means you started a new path. To pioneer means you changed the status quo. You adjusted the boundary. The boundary was 30 kilometers before you came. You carried the boundary and moved another 70 kilometers forward. And people notice that the boundary has adjusted. We have a 100 kilometer radius to now walk. And then some other person comes and takes it from that 100 and adds 250. And then it becomes 350. You keep shifting the boundary forward. But there are a group of people that will come and then join, and then when they come around the boundary, they just caress the boundary and just play around there and return back to where they are coming from. They say, no, we can't go beyond there. That's the rule, the limit. Say, we can't go beyond. So let's go back. Say, yes, actually, let's go back. But that company, when everybody leaves, they'll still be standing there and say, what if I take it and move forward? And then the individual, after everybody has gone, because pioneers, you see them, they are almost like lone rangers, because they can't function in the combined thinking. It thought contradicts the general thought. So he allows everybody to go, and when they have gone home, he stays near the boundary, and everybody is sleeping, he takes the boundary and walks with it till dawn. And then when the people return, they realize the boundary is no longer there. They say, where is Alex? See, he's not in the tribe. Where is he? And then they see him at a distance waving. He has shifted their possibility. And then they can walk forward. And then in doing, walking forward, he charts out a new path because they don't know the way. Then he says, this is the way to walk. He had a different spirit. So it's very necessary. We talk about pioneering. We talk about breaking forth into new things. Talk about advancing, shifting in direction. We talk about matters of possibilities. When you talk about possibilities, it tells you that it is not an actuality. It is a reality that if certain in place and certain conditions and laws are met, this will occur. It's a possibility. So we refer to possibilities and events that will occur. But possibilities and all what we talk about, pioneering advancement, it takes that revolutionary inside of you to first accept. Like I gave the illustration of the gentleman. The one who is celebrating that this is the boundary. This is the boundary now. Look at the pillar. The pillar is here. This pillar is our boundary. They celebrate there, have a feast, and go back to the village square. He sticks around there and says, there's no law saying we can't move further. The only law saying we can't move further is that this pillar is planted here. And then something is taught, informs him that this pillar that is here didn't arrive here, didn't appear here. Somebody planted it here. If somebody planted it here, somebody can remove it and plant it somewhere else. So he takes the boundary with him and shifts it forward and plants it where he can. The other people they don't even give a thought if it was somebody that planted it or not. They don't think that deep. But the individual says, if this thing is here, of course it didn't appear here. Somebody planted it here. If it's a person that planted it, a person can still replant it. That's the thought of a thinker. That's the thought of a revolution. So he takes it and shifts it. The whole village comes the next day and sees that their boundary has been taken off. And then they see that little guy waving them kilometers away, waving to them. He says, come here. There's even water here. There's a river up ahead. There's a vegetation up here for our cattle to feed. Why did we remain here and wonder that they dropped? They open a new door of possibilities. I'm speaking, that may just be a parable, but it describes a reality. And of course, you can understand what I'm talking about. There are people that in your field, some boundaries are not crossed. And it's not because the boundary speaks against, just that nobody has thought about it. You can think differently and shift it. But something that informs you to think like that allows you. Because there are people that when they attempt, something shuts them down. There's a system of alignment in your spirit that even allows you to consider that kind of thinking. It informs you that this was planted by somebody and it can still be replanted by another person. If your reality does not support the possibilities you see, adjust the boundary. If your reality does not support your possibility, adjust the boundary. If your reality does not support the possibilities that your life you see with your visions in the spirit, adjust the boundary of your reality. Somebody say you can't make your image bigger than the frame. We have frames in our house. The size of the image is regulated by your frame size. There's 8x10, there's 10x12. If you don't like the size of the image, enlarge the frame. Because if you have a small frame and a large image, how you try, the frame will always cut it out. So if you don't like the size of the image of your life, extend the frame to accommodate it. That's what I mean by if the reality of your life does not support the possibilities you see in your visions, adjust the boundary. We talk about pioneering advancement, but it takes something else in place. And we are going to look at that. Let's turn to scriptures to see something out of it. Let's go to the book of Numbers. Father, we preach. Thank you, Adon. Kabush, Zekudia, Lebrahande, Skoprahadash. Numbers chapter 14. Talaban, Nebusko, Tolibolibus. Let me pull up that scripture for us. Now, you know, in the last day of this assembly, the word that came to us, we talked about Caleb asking for the mountain. Now, look at the judgment God laid on them. Because there were about 12 of them that went to spy out the land. But 10 of them came back, different perspective. Different perspectives. Different laws, different possibilities was running on their inside. So look at what God said to Moses. God gave us a picture. He said, verse 20, Numbers 14, 20. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But look at this. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, he has followed me wholly. I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Did you see that? A different spirit. There was something about Caleb and the rest 10. Because they were all subjected to the same vision. They went to the same land and saw everything together. But what was seen accomplished a different kind of work in Caleb. A different kind of operation was occurring in this particular person. Look at what the scripture says. I'm trying to pull it out in another translation. Because a different spirit. So Caleb saw different. God said, in Father, we give you praise. Can we hear me? Can we hear
yes,
me?
Sir.
Yes, sir.
God, Caleb had a different spirit inside of him, and that spirit allowed him to possess the inheritance. That spirit inside of him was different. So, for you to become a pioneer and to enter into advancement, to shift the body, to shift the kingdom in the earth, you must partake of a different spirit. Not different from the Holy Ghost. As God says, he had a different spirit. Different spirit means that he didn't think like the others were thinking. Not the conventional. Bible, whatever that says, he wholly followed the Lord his God. David said, wickedness proceeds from the wicked. Revolutions proceeds from revolutionaries. Revolutionaries. Men and women who are revolutions themselves, it will proceed from them. Praise the Lord. This is clear through scriptures. I'm saying this because you have to be baptized with this understanding and be changed. Remember, we said that the word revolution is summarized, changed. And revolutions can occur even in our own lives when there's a drastic change. Saul saw a revolution in his life in 1 Samuel chapter 10. They gave him signs and experience that will go on in his life. And then the prophet said to him, and you shall be turned into another man. You shall be changed into another man. You will leave the former identity and become another individual. And then the scripture said that as the man turned to leave from the prophet, God gave him another heart. A different spirit took over from him. A changed individual. So you, advancement will only proceed from advancers. Shifts will only proceed from people who are shifts themselves. Wickedness proceeds from the wicked. Revolutions, pioneering or pioneership, like I usually say, will only proceed from pioneers and revolutions. Like we beget like. So if you have not partaken of this spirit, then perhaps you will not be able to move in the direction of your destiny, because it's not a conventional adjustment. It's a drastic contrary shift against the status quo. Like the young man who comes and shifts the boundary of the community and says, we can go further. There are people who put limitations on themselves that nobody puts. Like the community, the fictitious community I'm talking to you about. The boundary is just there. They have met it for generations to generations. They don't question it. They don't think anything beyond it. The people who attempt to do it, they suppress them. Don't ask those questions. It's not for you to think about. So there are people who put limit on their life that God has not put. I can't be more than this. In short, they don't even think about it. It's just a default wallpaper that is at the back of their mind. And they don't even notice it. You know, there's a way you can put a decoration in your room and you have seen it so much, you are not even aware of it. You become used to the wallpaper. You don't even take note of it. If somebody who comes into your house, you know, that takes note of it and say, ah, this thing is here. When did you put this? Say, ah, it has been here a long time now. People put limitations and boundaries in their life that God has made. Some persons have never seen themselves important beyond their family. They have not thought about it. When they say relevance, importance, something in their mind tells them that they are not talking about you. That's a devil that is living tonight. It's what it has packed out. When they talk about impact, it's not like they are conscious, but they don't relate with the speech. Something informs them you are apart from this. You are divorced from this category, not you in question. When they talk about kingdom wealth, walking in dimensions of God, graces and anointing, capacity to cast out devils, they don't think about their prayer point. Doesn't, when they lead those, they don't even pray it really. They say, Lord, just help me. Let me do this and settle here and just be open. Is it that kind of person now that we want to be? He himself is a status quo. He's the status quo made flesh, walking in the midst of men. He has to be changed first. Then out of him, he will shift what is before him by expressing the spirit that is inside of him. Caleb had a different spirit. If you make contact with this spirit tonight, revolutionary concepts will just automatically generate out of your perception. And God can speak to you. Some people put a limit to the extent which God can speak to them. Because God already sees that they can't go beyond this. When you shift the boundary of your possibilities, God can give you some instructions. When you shift the boundary of your possibilities, God can give you some instructions. Some persons at the level of your present internal state, you can't receive some word. Jesus said to his disciples, not in verse 11, he said, not able to receive this except to them. There are things that not every man. I can't start any business. He won't give you any idea because you don't. Business in a foreign land. Show me that land. I'm too young. 21. What can I do? People accept and come with great depth of. So they have to even bring you to accept. That's why I see God brought Abraham to. He brought the children of Israel like two days. The thing was that they were so by slave mentality that he took the best of them. They lost their destiny. They wander for 40 years so that they can die imitation and not spoil the new that will emerge. The slave mentality was more that even after they signed out, they couldn't get. But they, these men that have seen my signs, after all the signs, all king, the Egyptians being death of the firstborns, water being turned to blood. So and then they gave up. They were choosing to take them back. Can you believe that? After their firstborn sunk, they were looking for some appointed the leader that will lead them activity. That's too much. Which is why we say that where a mind is in place, Satan is not necessary. Look, there's a say, take us back. God, limitation hurt so much. They couldn't get over it. God couldn't help them. God couldn't help them. Don't help them. God couldn't. They were face to face with, but God couldn't help them. What you are. What you see. Peter face to face. Fear came and he was sinking. God couldn't help those guys. The slave mentality has gotten hold on them. It wouldn't let them. So they perished in when doing anything. Do you know what for them? Caleb grew old. He was 40. He became a one in the bush. Because of some guys who couldn't let go. They died. That God said to Joshua, it wasn't his fault. He was caught up with the wrong crowd. There were just four who accepted. Maybe Moses and Aaron, Joshua and Caleb. How would they go to the promised land and populate it? We don't even know about the women's testimonies. Who will now lead the rest congregation if these four go? So they were condemned all together to stay with the status quo. So the first work is you. Out of the wicked, wickedness flows. Out of revolutionaries. Revolution we flow. Changing direction we flow. Are you a revolution? It will come. It will happen with you. Father, we give you praise. Please go ahead, give God praise. Worship you. Revolutions will still occur. That is what we are on. They will still occur. You are being prepared for your assignment. You are being prepared for your assignment. Lekusia dembura kasia lempratas mehushi kadabaya ketus. You are being prepared for your assignment. Lekote pelete kesi palababaya bama kasku palagadia. You are being prepared for your assignment. Paul was called, was a Pharisee, Hebrew of the Hebrews. They called him as a revolutionary from birth. It took the church 10 years to know that non-Jews can get saved, according to biblical chronological studies. Between Acts 1 and Acts 10 was 10 years, according to study. Cornelius, who was a Gentile, a centurion, saw visions of angels telling him, of an angel telling him, it's time to get saved. Sent Peter. Peter's mind would not accept it so much so before he came, God had to give him a vision. In short, he told him, just go with them. Don't explain anything. Don't say anything. Once they say, come, just go. When Peter got there, they knelt before, he said, don't greet me like that. I'm a man like you. The first word he wanted to preach, he said, you know that the Jews have nothing to do with the Gentiles. That's how he began his sermon. By taking a fruit of racial differential. Instead of saying that Jesus Christ, a man sent from God, came to die for the sins of the world, saying that all men, he first took up, saying, you know that the Jews have nothing to do with the Gentiles. But God has shown me that I should not call anything unclean. Say, so what is it? So when the man shared his vision, it was okay, I will narrate it to you. You saw of all the things that God have done before our eyes and that we have seen, how that God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And as he began to speak, the Holy Spirit started landing on the people. And the preacher was shocked. The other people of the circumcision, the Jews, all of them were shocked. And they said, the Holy Spirit is coming upon the Gentiles, so it's not correct. That is, from the laws in the book, it's not supposed to be like that. It's not correct. They exclaim, see, the outpouring as at the first, the Holy Spirit is upon the Gentiles. And then Peter was shocked. Everybody shocked. You know why? It was not within the allotment. 10 years, according to records. These were preaching only to the Jews. The Gentiles will not be saved. Then God took the church. The Holy Spirit was the one who brought the revolution. Peter's mentality, its mind was too stiff in the direction of the Jews. And so he said, okay, if the Holy Spirit has come, is it water we will not baptize? So they baptized them. Immediately, Acts 11, when he went to the church, they confronted him. He met the resistance. How dare you take the message of salvation to the uncircumcised world of the Gentiles? And they were angry with him, the church leaders, people of authority. You took this thing to the uncircumcised. They are unworthy, they are unfit. And then when he explained the details, then they gave praise to God. Say, okay, this Peter doesn't have a hand in it. It is the Lord. It was in Acts chapter 13. God now, the Holy Spirit now said to the assembly, Acts 13, that this revolutionary thing I did, I want to assign it to a man for it to be his ministry. So he says, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. Did you see that word? Keep them one side for the work I have called them. And then they blessed them and say they sent them. And they went into the world of the Gentiles. The revolutionary thing, God committed it to a man. Revolution became his ministry. That's why you see he continually had problems here outside the church, within the church, from the Jews, from persecution with the brethren. He went to the church in Acts chapter 14, the synagogue. He preached to both Jews and Gentiles. They are celebrated. The next day he came and preached. The Jews became envious. They stoned them, persecuted them. Envy came and all of that. Everywhere he preached, there was war, there was trouble. In Acts chapter 17, verse 6, they say that those who have turned the world upside down, they have come. That's the way they refer to him as the people that turned the world upside down. He went to Ephesus and caused a riot in the whole city. I'm telling you why his ministry was that chaotic. It was a revolutionary ministry Christ gave to me. That's why I say, I'm showing you things that you will suffer. You will bear my light to the Gentiles. But Christ has prophesied it through Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah chapter 49. That I will give you as a light to the Gentiles. And also in Isaiah chapter 42. When they brought, was it Tertullus, to come and accuse him, they say, we have found this man, a pestilent fellow, a plague, a dissenter, somebody who arises riots in the whole world, the leader of the sect of the Nazarenes. They say he's a plague. They say when COVID broke out, they say he's a plague, a pestilence. He say he raises up dissension in the whole world, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. God carried the revolution, the one Peter would not receive. He said, you'll be doing it. That is your work. That's why when Paul came and said that, in Acts chapter 15, after he preached to the Gentiles, some people came and said, even these people you have preached to, they are not circumcised, they won't be saved. Paul said, they will not be circumcised. Say, what are you on? Do you dare speak against the laws of Moses? They went back to the church and held an assembly. And then they said, no, they won't have to be circumcised. God said to the Jews, see, you shall not eat this, you shall not eat that. Paul came and wrote and said, anything is not unclean, he said, if you eat it with thanksgiving, It confirms the vision of Peter where God gave him one manner of beast. I say, rise and eat. Peter said, no. Is God telling you? It's as if the Holy Spirit asked you to do something. I say, Lord, no, this one is a sin. You know the law more than the lawgiver. That's what Peter did. It means he was so serious. He was going from court sessions to appearing before counsel, accusing him here and there and here and there. You know why? They gave him revolution to do for as a living. That's why you see Paul's letters. We are afraid of him. You see his letters. He caused riots when they landed. He caused revival. Till date, we are still using his letters to speak. Thousands of years later, Paul still speaks to us. Paul still speaks to us. And his words are still revolutionary. Without using them. He said, though I be in chief of God with me, it's not bound. He was made revolution himself. It got so serious that at the end of his life, when he was freed to rent his house in Acts chapter 20, chapter 28, the elders of the city in Rome, all of them gathered, see, we want to hear this thing. By the time he finished preaching, there was still another dissension. What I'm showing you is that revolution flows from people. He had to be changed. He himself understood revolution. He experienced it because the whole foundation of his life was crumbled. He had persecuted Jesus Christ, killed the saints, arrested them, only to find out that the very thing which you hate with all your life is what is true. God, some person will not recover. They go through a crisis phase. It's as if you know that feeling when soldiers who go to war thinking they are fighting for the cause of their nation only to have the realization that they are the bad people. They thought they were fighting in their new cause. It waters down their morale. That's what happened in the Vietnam War. Because at some point, it's short, even the nation, the United States were not supporting the war again. The soldiers, when they came back, they were booed. They were seen as evil people. The very thing he pursued with zeal. You are in truth. You pursue error. Destroy the error. You need to realize that you yourself, you are the error. Or what you are against is truth. And then look at the Lord. The Lord Jesus himself was the king of all. He toppled all the religious system until they killed him. Pilate said he knew for envy that they had brought him to him. He toppled every own established system that was not of Christ, not of God, until they killed him. Everything Paul experienced, he experienced multiple times. The first time he went to the synagogue, they gave him the book to read. He went and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he anointed me to preach the gospel. That's good, you can read the scriptures. But then, he now went further to say that this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing. And then you know what he began to say? He said to them, you will say to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard you do in Capernaum, do it in your hometown. Capernaum is a city in Galilee. It's a Gentile city. Then look at what he began to say to them. He said that there were many widows in Israel, but God didn't send any one of them, send Elijah to any one of them, but to a Gentile widow in the city of Sidon. In Zarephath, you know the widow of Zarephath is not an Israelite town. It's in the Gentile way of Tyre and Sidon or Sidon. That's where it was, at the coast of the sea. That's where Zarephath is. The widow was not a Jew, was not an Israelite. The widow was not dwelling. Zarephath is in Sidon. You can read that scripture, Luke chapter 4. He said, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, but to the widow. And he now offered to say, there were many lepers in Israel, but none was healed except Naaman the Syrian. You know what that meant? He was telling the Jews that you don't really hold any special place in Christ, in God. God can be gracious to all men if he chooses. It's not a doctrine they will accept, because that's why today the Jews believe that they are every other race is second to them. That's why they divided the world into two classes, not three, not four, Jew and Gentile. Everybody that is not of them is a Gentile. And God is for them. He is the God of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are God's people. They are the covenant people. Nobody again. God, he said to them through that message that he can be gracious to anyone. And what was even more painful was that the fact was there in scripture. Nobody had ever seen that scripture like that. No, they have been reading it, but they didn't see it. They were always seeing the works of God. They were celebrating the almightiness of God through the prophet Elijah. Celebrating the miracle of God through the prophet Elijah. Say, Kai, God is great. The God of the Hebrew is great. The God of the Jews is almighty. But then he came and said, yes, he's almighty, but you are missing one last layer of God. One last layer of sight. There were many those in Israel that day that were all going through the same famine and drought. But God sent Elijah to go and cure a widow that was not a Jew in the Gentile world. Kai, what is this? How dare he see? What is the meaning of that? They can't disprove it. It's straight in scripture. As if that was not enough, then he came back again and gave them another dose. There were still many lepers in Israel, but Elisha didn't cure any, except Naaman, the captain of the Syrian army. God! And then they got angry. That day, his first sermon, he wanted to, that day, they took note of him, that this man is troubling and missing. That is your Lord Jesus. He toppled the system. His destiny, his assignment was to just perspective of his day. He showed him who that's. But they were possessed of Satan and worked against God's promises. These things go on even through contemporary church movements. There are people fail to make transition. There are still places in the world today that they don't accept that praying in tongues is genuine. They have limited the power and the depth of their prayer. Because if they are speaking in unknown tongues, speaks directly to God. In the spirit, it speaks mysteries. What can you pray in English language? There are still places that forbid tongues, some places. Tongues took a while to get out, to become a general thing that the body agrees with, that it is genuine. Took some people from many years ago in the last century getting to that state. Some others refused and got carried away with the good wine. The new wine skin is a revolution. The new wine itself is the spirit of revolution. New wine skin is a revolution. The new wine itself is the spirit of revolution. Wickedness proceeds from the wicked. Revolution proceeds from revolutions. I've showed you two principal ministries in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. The ministry of the Apostle Paul, and of course the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. I could show you further through the ministry of this man, and even through the ministry of our Lord, how that he changed the status quo. They were so driven by the law. He said, read the scriptures. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. They would not heal, therefore, on the Sabbath. But if their ox falls into a pit, they will save him. So one day he stood up before them and said, which one is good? To do evil on Sabbath or to do good? And they didn't know how to answer him. And he said, the man is stretch for 2 hours. They couldn't argue. The fact was there. Satan in their heart has envy and jealousy forbade them from entering the truth. Revolution, it proceeds from the revolutions. Revolution is not something that just happens. It flows from somebody who is the identity. If you are a revolution working, it will occur with you. The first shift and changes will begin inside you. Today, you have made contact with the revolution. with an encounter. Today you are in this experience and in this course tonight. This is a course. It's a kingdom school for revolutionaries. You are in a course. You are in a class. You are in a program. By the time you graduate at the other end, maybe in a few weeks' time, your thinking will amaze even your equals. You will speak like Jesus, who said to them, there were many lepers in Israel, but none was he sent to, except to a Gentile captain of a Gentile army, showing the abundance and the goodness of God, that the grace of God can be extended to all men. You will speak in that order that will baffle your generation. And when they celebrate the status, you can say, well, some other depths are still possible. It is upon you that I decree it so, in the name of Jesus. Let's go ahead and let's give God praise. Thank Him for His word. Worship Him. Say, Lord, I want to be a revolution in my days. You want to bring change. You want to shift the boundary. Use me. Here I am. Break me. Make me. Shape me. Take me. Do what? Do as you please. Do as it is necessary. I desire a shift and a change. Go ahead, pray. Shift. You can be a revolution. You can mother differently, and by that I mean being a mother, not the other one. Being a mother, the mother of Charles Wesley and John Wesley was a different kind of woman. Their success in life is traceable to their impact. Much has been written about the mother of those two. You can be a mother to your boys differently. Drawing out anecdotes and wisdom from scripture. The Bible says wisdom has built a house. You can build the future and the destiny of your children on solid rock through revolutionary system of teaching your children. And after a while, when you have mastered it with proof, you use it to write a book, becomes a bestseller. Nurturing children unto glory. You have mastered the art. Now you share the knowledge, and people come to buy into your books to see how you can change a life through prayer, through discipleship, mentoring, how to mentor your children, and how to live as a role model and an exemplary life of leadership. Because parenting is leadership. If you are not the first mentor of your child, something is out of place. Something, if your child doesn't want to follow you and live like you, if you are not a role model, something, because as a parent, you are the first image your child sees. You are the adult they see, they live about, they live close with. As a parent, you are the most close adult, the adult of the greatest proximity. So if they have nothing to see, they don't want to be like you, something is wrong with you. Something is wrong with you. Something is wrong with you. And if you don't want your children to end up like you, still something is wrong with you. It means you have to wake up and make some changes. Your prayer should even be like, Lord, even if my children will not know you, let them know you the way that I know you. Because the children will be an improvement of their parents. But Lord, if they can't shift further, at least let them be like what I have. As a parent, your first responsibilities to be a role model to the children you raise. So if your life does not have any quality of leadership, something is wrong with you. You have to correct it. Those of you who will be parents soon as well, know that too. You are to mentor your children. But if you are, what will you mentor them on? To destruction or to eternal life? There's work to be done in you. There's work to be done through you. Mentor your children. Don't lose any one of them. Teach them the word. Teach them the way to do things. For your children, learn, read books. We have come to parenting is not like the way it was in the days of our fathers. They didn't teach us so much. They were hard. They caned us. See, the world has spoiled so much. Terrible influence all over the place. Terrible influence all over this. So, being a father and a mother has to be sophisticated now. Because a lot of other
forces have come into play. Societal forces, social forces, peer forces, the influence of the devil and the wicked one, they are all in play. It has to become sophisticated, robed and armored with a life of prayer and also wisdom. The world has spoiled because communication is easy. There's what is called, there's something I was looking into, the growing global secularization. And maybe we'll talk about that on the Saturday, how the world is growing secular by another kind of colonization. You see, secularism has become a global force. The world is going global. And now it is easier for youths in remote parts of the country to look alike than to look like the elder ones in their locality. Are you not seeing it? And then this one who carried out also said that it is easier now for you to see a youth somewhere in Africa or in Asia looking like a youth in New York, in Los Angeles, but they are than looking like an adult in their midst. It's like that. You see the teenagers, the youth of this day, they don't look like people that in their, like the adults they live among. So he talked about a trend that is growing, that of globalization, of secularism, that there are other forces that come together to achieve it. So you see everybody fry here now, they leave the center and plate it. It's a trend. And you see it all over. You see it in the United States, you see it in the US, you see it in Africa, you even see it in villages. They're picking it up. Your child will pick it, will soon pick it up if you are not careful. Don't say it's not me. People that are created, their house is near church. Their children are turning to something else. If you are not careful. So you better wake up. For your children, read. For them, pray. Study, analyze. I knew of a mother, I read of a mother who teaches her children to engage the modern thoughts of the world and how to disarm them. So that when they go to the universities and the professor is talking nonsense, they can shut down the professor with reason. And so far it has been excellent. If you don't want to lose your children, read for them. If you don't want to lose your children, study for them. Pray for them. Learn for them. Understand what's going on. Counsel them. Don't tell them what is wrong. Show them why it is wrong. Yes. If you can't show them why it is wrong, they will ask questions. You are in the direction of asking questions. And when questions are not asked, any idiot can come out and give them answers. And that's the answer they're wrong. You show them, you told them this is wrong, you didn't give them reason. Somebody will come and give them reason why it is not wrong and come. When the damage is done, that's when you come out with your reason. Your weak reason, very weak reason. You yourself don't even believe it. Very weak reason. But your other reason was logical. So it stood firm in their minds. Pray for your children, teach them, mentor them. Monitor their growth process. As they are growing, mark their age. This is 12. I think it's okay to explain this thing to them now. This is why this is wrong. This is what happens. Show them the way and make them your friend. Don't be their father. If you're only your children's father, you will still lose them. Become their friend. Be like, Paul say, I became all things to women. To a Roman, I was a Roman. To a Jew, I was a Jew. To those who were in the law, I was lawful. To those who were without law, I was lawless, but still lawless under God's law. So it wasn't like I was doing everything. Don't be their mother, be their friend. Don't be their father, become their friend. Be a part of their life. Let them come. If your child cannot confide you, still something is wrong. He's confiding to a friend that is equally as foolish as he is. Then they generate foolish ideas. Then they are foolishly destroyed. You will not lose any of your sons in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. There's work to be done. And I knew that. Oh, our grace. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.